At the time of recording this episode, we are coming upon the 4th of July, the celebration of the independence from Britain for the United States of America. But it came at a high cost that cost plenty of human lives. And with all wars, it always leaves behind a trail of ghosts. And the Revolutionary War for Independence was no different. In fact, there are many battlefields and areas where people see ghosts of our founding fathers, and places where not just great battles took place, but where horrific acts were committed, still haunted by those souls left behind and forgotten. So this 4th of July, we're going to celebrate with a little bit of ghost stories before the fireworks. I'm your host, the Paranormal Pilgrim, and this is the Land of the Shadow People, 4th of July edition. Welcome back to the Land of the Shadow People podcast. I am glad you're able to join me. I am your host, the Paranormal Pilgrim, and this is your first time. Welcome, and if you are a regular listener, I am glad you're here, and your continued support of listening to this program is what drives me. And with that, if you guys could like, subscribe, and share, and with that, let's rock and roll. So the 4th of July is quickly approaching. And even in these kind of hard economic times, people will still go out and celebrate fireworks and music and barbecues. But with every celebration to the War of Independence, there's a story of ghost tales, patriotic paranormal events, and the Revolutionary War is no different. In fact, we start with George Washington, the first president of the United States, the general of the Continental Army, and it's said that his ghost can be seen from time to time in his home, especially in the room where he died in Mount Vernon. One story I came across on Battlefield Net talked about Josiah Quincy had come to visit George Washington's home in 1806, which was under the care of George Washington's nephew, Bushrod Washington. And from what the stories say, Quincy did see the ghost of George Washington while staying in George Washington's bedchamber. This got his curiosity going, and he was allowed to visit the tomb of George Washington. And it was said that he was disturbed by the fact of what he saw. And it had appeared that George Washington's tomb had been raided by relic hunters, by people trying to get a piece of Americana history. Said that the velvet cover of the coffin was hanging in tatters, and that the tomb left something left to be desired. But with great effort, they have restored Washington's tomb, and hopefully it grants the first president a little bit of peace. Now, the second story I want to talk about is many people, when they think about the Revolutionary War, there's a vision of the harsh winter that happened at Valley Forge where Washington's army was staying, and it was an extremely hard winter in the New England area that year, and many men died from starvation and just from the cold and frostbite. But as bad as Valley Forge was, it was not in not in comparison to Jockey Hollow in Morristown, New Jersey, in the December of 1779, where winter hit extremely hard that year. In fact, it said that the troops dealt with over 28 different separate snowstorms with snowdrifts that were over 15 feet high. And in January of 1780 of that winter, the temperature only went above freezing once. It was said that of Major General Joan de Cobb said of Jockey Hollow, "Those who have only been in Valley Forge or Middlebrook during the last two winters but have not tasted the cruelties of this one and know not what it means to suffer." So bad were the conditions, there were often threats of mutiny. Over 96 men died. They had over 1,000 desertions. 140 surrendered themselves. And they lost over 2,700 to discharge for not being able to continue to do the duties. Today, it is a historical park, the Morristown National Historic Park, that is run by the National Park Service. From what I'm saying, it is full of trails and there are plenty of historical markers. But people who have gone to visit this national park, where there is a large boulder with grave markers for roughly 100 soldiers, people have said they have heard the sounds of soldiers marching, drum beats, and the sound of the pipes playing. Some people have seen shadowy figures dashing among the huts. And there is an apparition of a woman in white carrying a lantern. One of the less known tragedies of the Revolutionary War was that of the prisoners aboard British prison ships that were anchored along New York's East River. It is said that more people had died in the British prison ships than had been killed in battle. And roughly, they said over 8,000 to 12,000 prisoners died compared to the 6,800 that were killed in battle. And it wasn't just American soldiers and sailors, but also citizens of the colonies who opposed the British crown. It was often said that these prison ships were overcrowded. The summers were hot, the winters were freezing cold, the water was brackish and dark and filled with bacteria and parasites. Prisoners were rarely fed. There was quarrels, rats, lice, in some cases people losing their minds, dehydration, and other diseases, contagious diseases. And one interesting fact is that at least 6 lives were lost each day on a single prison ship. The bodies of these people were just tossed overboard or built in shallow graves not too far from where the prisoners could see in dismay of what happened to their fellow comrades. Despite efforts to preserve the memories lost aboard the ship, it said that some of the souls were forgotten. In fact, in 1902, laborers of the Brooklyn Navy Yard stumbled upon the sunken hull of the HMS Jersey, which was one of the prison ships. It said that while excavating, they accidentally pierced the hull into one of the docks, and soon after, nearby residents started complaining about strange activities, including faint whispers in the water and screams in the night. And it is cautioned that if you walk in that area, beware of the spirits in the water. It is said that Alexander Hamilton appears to haunt his own home where he died on 27 Jane Street in Greenwich Valley, New York City. It is said that Alexander Hamilton is a very, how shall we say, a poltergeist-like ghost that likes to play pranks, mess with people, but rarely manifests himself in these times. It seems that the ghost of Hamilton does not like the company of people, but tends to like to mess around with them. For those of you who don't know, Alexander Hamilton was killed in a duel with Aaron Burr, whose ghost seems to also haunt in the town of New Hope, Pennsylvania, where it is said that he stayed after his duel with Alexander Hamilton in order to escape prosecution. It's said that his ghost can be seen walking up and down the streets and peeking around corners as he is checking and looking at people with suspicion. Another ghost is that of General Anthony Wayne, who was probably one of the most successful, brilliant leaders in the Continental Army. He was known for his bold tactics and willingness to go on the offensive with the better equipped and better trained British troops that earned him a reputation as being a madman. It is said that his life was cut short by illness, and a few years after he was buried, his bones were dug up and transported along what is now known as Route 322. So he could be buried in the family pot in Radnor, Pennsylvania. It says, according to a legend, and it sounds like it's a very popular legend, that some of the bones of General Wayne were lost in transit, and that on January 1st every year, which is the general's birthday, it says, people say that his ghost can be found on Route 322 looking for his missing remains. And last but not least, the writer of the Declaration of Independence himself and the third president of the United States, Thomas Jefferson, is said to still be attached to the land he dedicated his life to improving in his home outside of Charlottesville, Virginia. In Monticello, it says his ghost still walks around the premises. People say they can hear whistling, which was a habit of Thomas Jefferson. Others claim they have seen Jefferson himself walk up to him and ask what they were doing. Some believe that his spirit haunts the place because when Thomas Jefferson died, he died very deeply in debt and was, I guess, anxious about his inability to be able to pass his Monticello home to his heirs who had to sell it. So many think that his spirit there is to protect what was his lifelong investment and what was his hope to be a lifelong legacy passed down from family member to family member. Perhaps not. I hope you found some of these stories a little interesting. I hope you have a good and safe 4th of July. If you have any stories, please send it to landoftheshadowpeople@mail.com, or you can send it to theparanormalpilgrim@protonmail.com. Otherwise, until next time, on the side of the veil of the next, I'm out.